The Chovas HaLevavos in his Pesicha to the Shar of Bitachon explains that there are advantages to having Bitachon both in the realm of Torah and Avodah and in the realm of daily living, carrying on a daily basis. And he began by telling us that you're always going to trust in something, either the Ribono Shel Olam or something else. And if a person puts his trust in something else, the Ribono Shel Olam may take his hashgacha away from him and leave him to whatever he put his trust in. And he goes on to describe why it's a folly to put your trust in your chachma, to put your trust in your wealth. And if a person is a boteach b'Hashem, so then he won't have to be subservient to other people, because the only one he's afraid of and concerned about is the Ribono Shel Olam. And nothing else. Nothing else can influence what happens in his life. It's all in Hashem's hands. And that's the benefit, or one of the benefits, of being a strong maimon in Boteach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then he says that the one who puts his bitachon in Hashem doesn't have to worry about worldly matters. And he wants to compare it to the alchemist. And the alchemist was a person who supposedly had an ability to turn things like nechoshes and bedil, copper and tin, into silver and gold. And you would think that such a person would have it made. Such a person has no worries, no cares, because he'll take simple things that are available and turn them into precious metals. So the Chazor says you should realize that the Boteach B'Elokim, Yesh Lo Olav Yisun Ba'asar Devarim, there are 10 things, 10 areas where the Boteach in Hashem, the one who trusts in Hashem, has an advantage over this alchemist. And he begins to enumerate. Tchilasa, to begin with. Shebal HaKimiyo Serech LeDevarim Yuchadim LaMalacha. The alchemist needs certain tools to do his alchemy. Lo yugmer lo dover zulasam. Without the tools, without the ingredients, it's not going to happen. Lo yimtzeim b'chol esu b'chol makom. And it's not like these things are readily available at every time and every place. So it's not a guarantee that at any given time he'll be able to do his magic, if you will, to transform the tin into silver and gold. The one who trusts in Hashem, tarpo muftuchlo mikol siba misiba sa'olam. His panosa, his sustenance, is secure as far as he's concerned. He's secure in his sustenance no matter what's going on. Kamo shama kasuv, like the pasuk says, l'man hodiyacho kilo ahalechem levado yichi ha'adam ki al komotza pi Hashem yichi ha'adam. To make sure you realize that man does not live on bread alone, but on the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki hasibos einon niftzaros mimenu b'chol es b'chol makom. There's no situation or circumstance that the Ribono Shel Olam doesn't have the ability to provide a person with what he needs, no matter when it is or where it is. Kasher yodata midvar Eliyo im arvim. Like you know, when you learn Navi, what happened to the Eliyo Navi with the ravens? He had no food. And the ravens would bring him food. The Orphan would bring him food from the kitchen of the Melech. They'd bring him food. Ve'im ha'isha ha'almana. Or the story of the woman who was widowed. And when Eliyahu HaNavi stopped the rain, so there was a tekufa, a period of time when he didn't let it rain. And he came to this woman and she said, I have a little flour and a little oil. And my son and I are going to eat it, and we're going to die of hunger, because that's all we have left. And Eliyahu told her, no, don't have to worry. The kar hakemech lo sichla, your oil, your flour container will never empty, and your tzepachas Hashem lo sechsar, and your oil jug will always have oil in it until it starts to rain again. And so it was. The flour never emptied, and the oil never depleted. It was an ace. Because it's nice, but the Ribono Shel Olam can provide. There are stories about people of Gilui Eliyahu HaNavi that their flour doesn't deplete. There are stories like this. A person came, you know, a guest came to the inn, to the tavern, and they took care of him, gave a bracha, and then for a long time, the flour just never was exhausted. And they figured it must have been Eliyahu Navi who came, gave them bracha. There are stories like this. It's based on the Navi. V'ugas ritzafim. Another example is ugas ritzafim. Another situation, Eliyahu Navi was being chased by Izebel, and she wanted to kill him, and as he's fleeing, he goes to a place, and he wakes up in the morning, and there's ugas ritzafim there. There is a loaf of bread baked on coals, and there's food for him. It's a pachas amayim and a canteen of water. Udvar Ovadia Menaviyim, we also find by Ovadia, when he hid the Neviyim, Sha'amar V'achbi B'Neviyah Hashem Me'a Ish Chamishim Chamishim Ish B'Mara, I hid 100 Neviyim, 50 in one cave, 50 in another cave, V'achalkeleim Lechem U'mayim, and provided for them water and bread. V'amar Kfir Marshuvar Evu V'der Shashem Lo'yach Zuchotov. The lions may be impoverished and hungry, but those who seek at Hashem are never lacking all good. V'amar Yiras Hashem Kedosho Ki Machzal Yireyav. The Ribbono Shel Olam sees the ones who are his Kedoshim and they're never lacking. So the alchemist, even though he has this ability that he can turn the metals, the inexpensive metals, to precious metals, but not all the time, not every place. He needs certain conditions, certain ingredients, certain tools. The one who's betechin in the Ribbono Shel Olam, the betech b'Hashem, no time, no place is too difficult. The Ribbono Shel Olam can provide wherever, whenever, it makes no difference. So that's one advantage of the Baal Bitochen over the alchemist. For Hasheni, a second advantage. The alchemist has to do certain things, and certain activities are necessary in order to do what he does. He will not accomplish what he wants to accomplish unless he has these things that he does, various activities that he does. Now, sometimes he's busy in his lab and the smell and the smoke could be deadly, could be toxic. If he's busy at it day and night and it's not well ventilated, there are risks involved, work-related risks of what he does. The one who trusts in Hashem is secure that nothing bad will happen. He's secure in his mind that he's not going to have to endanger himself. Whatever Hashem provides him will be for him a cause of joy. His panasa comes with a serenity, with a calmness. That the Ribbono Shel Olam will guide him to lay down in the fertile fields and by flowing water, so he doesn't have these concerns. There's no question that there are some professions that have greater risk than others, and the halacha does not restrict a person from engaging in an activity that carries some risk. In fact, the Gemara says, "Ve'elof unosias nafsho," that people climb high trees to get down the fruits, and there's a danger involved in that too. There's all kinds of risks. If you're in construction, whatever you're doing, there could be risks associated with your profession. What the Chavos of Avos is saying is that a person will not take risks that he's not comfortable with because he feels he has to. He doesn't have to. He knows he does not have to take risks that he's not prepared to take. There are some risks that everything has a risk. There's a risk to go to work, you know, in the morning. There's risks to everything. So these are called acceptable risks. The Baal Bitachon doesn't take unacceptable risks. The Baal Bitachon is comfortable with what he does. There may be a degree of risk in what he does, but it's not something that upsets him. If it is, he would do something else. If I'll be talking, no, I don't have to do this to get my parnasa. I could do something else. So that's the advantage the Baal Bitachon has over the alchemist, who his laboratory is potentially dangerous. Vashlishi, third advantage. This alchemist can never trust anyone with his secret. He's afraid for his life. If anyone finds out about what he does, don't kill him. The person who's Baal Bitachon, what's he afraid of? He's not afraid of people. What's there to be afraid of? In fact, he is very open with his Bitachon and Hashem. Kmosha Amar David HaMelech, Olav HaShem, David HaMelech said, Be'elokim botachti, lo ira, mayasa adam li. I put my faith in Hashem. I have no fear. What can a person do to me? A person can't do anything to me. The Ibn Hashem is in charge. If something happens to me, it's because Ibn Hashem wanted it to happen to me. The Baal Bitachon understands that when things happen, it's because Hashem wanted it to happen, not because it happened by itself. And that's the advantage of Baal Bitachon. There is an approach by some in the world of Bitachon that if I have trust in Hashem, then nothing bad will happen to me, then I am guaranteed that nothing bad will happen to me. There is a mahalach that the Navaratuk is mahalach, and there's such an approach in Hashkafa and in learning Bitachon that if you put your Bitachon in Hashem that nothing bad will happen, then nothing bad will happen. That's what it means. Others disagree, Chazanish disagrees. The more standard approach that we have is that when I Bitachon Hashem, I have no fear because I know whatever happens is what Hashem wants to happen. It may not be good for me. It may be good for me. Either way, but I know this is what Hashem wants. And that's the more commonly taught approach, the commonly accepted approach in Bitachon. Ve'ervi, the fourth advantage. Kibala kimiya eno nimot mehazmin mehazov akesef harbe le'esarchol, o shiyazmin mehem klum, elakfish yaspik lismamu'ot. The alchemist has to always figure out a calculation. Do I need a lot of silver and gold? Because I may need to spend it. Or I don't want to have too much. I'd rather have a little bit. And then he may be left without. If he prepares a lot, he's going to be afraid all the time. He shouldn't lose that which he has. The person who has amassed a lot of silver and gold under his mattress goes to sleep at night afraid what happens if something happens to it. He cannot rest, he cannot relax, because he's afraid the king might find out, the people might find out. Evidently, he's not paying taxes on the stuff because he doesn't earn it in a normal way. So he's afraid the king could confiscate it, people will steal it. So he's nervous. Let's say he's so good, he won't make a lot. He won't make to put under his mattress. He'll have a little bit. Then, he has a different concern. He may not have it when he needs it. Because something may happen, he'll need a lot of money, and he won't have it available. The one who trusts in Hashem, he has strong trust in Hashem. Hashem will provide for him as Hashem wills it, at a time and place that Hashem wants. Just like the baby in the mother's womb isn't losing sleep at night where he's getting his next meal. And the bird inside the shell before it hatches, the same thing. There's no way for the unhatched chick to get in and out of the shell. The bird in the sky, the fish in the sea, and the small insect with all its weakness. But sometimes you do find a lion is left hungry. Like it says, the lion will be impoverished and hungry, but those who seek at Hashem do not lack. Hashem doesn't make the nefesh tzaddik, the soul of the tzaddik, hungry. I was in young and old, and I never saw a tzaddik forsaken whose children were out seeking out bread. So the alchemist is always concerned. He has what to fear, whether he has a lot of money hoarded in his house, whether he has little money. If it's a lot, he's afraid he'll lose it, it'll be found, he'll be arrested. If it's a little money, he may not have enough if he needs it. And the one who's bitachon Hashem doesn't have these concerns. Now, he doesn't say the one who has bitachon will be wealthy. All he says is he's not concerned. Ezehu ashir semech b'chalko, he has what Hashem provides for him, and he's not concerned. He doesn't have these concerns. I've heard from people who spoke to wealthy people, and they asked them, you know, are you sleeping okay at night? Are you comfortable? And they're not. What are they nervous about? What happens if I lose my wealth? What if I lose some of my wealth? Right now I have five people who wait on me in my house between butlers and chauffeurs, and what if I can't afford all five anymore? There's a concern for them. It's a real concern, which goes back to the pasuk, Oyev Kesef, Yisper Kesef. No matter how much you have, you want more, you're not satisfied. It's not like you feel, okay, I hit my limit and I'm good now. Some people maybe can reach that madrega, it's a big madrega to reach, but most people still have anxiety and still have concerns how to protect their assets. If the government currently is going to change the laws, is it going to affect my investments? Should I pull them out of the stock market? Should I put them someplace else? This is constantly on their minds. The Batech Bashem doesn't worry about it. It's just not on his mind. The Bashem will take care of me. I don't worry about it. Just like all the other creatures Hashem takes care of without a worry. So I don't have to worry either. And again, he brings the psukim that the Darshi Hashem are lacking. And he adds the pasuk, now Yisagam Zakanti, Yisagam Zakashlacham. And many people are very troubled with this pasuk. We all know the pasuk. Now Yisagam Zakanti, but we see this. What does that mean? That we never see a tzaddik whose children are hungry, they don't have food, they don't go collecting. We do see this. We do see this all the time. Like, what does it mean? And it's troubling. So some people just don't ask the question because Dovra Melech said they never saw it. But the reality is, a lot of people are bothered by this question. A lot of people are troubled by this question. What does it mean that Dovra Melech wrote this pasuk in Tehillim? Now, Yisigam Zakanti. Does it mean that all the people we think are tzaddikim aren't tzaddikim? Is that what it means? That we have the wrong definition of tzaddik? That David HaMelech tzaddik never happens to the David HaMelech tzaddik. But aren't tzaddikim are not on that level? Is that what it means? Mashiach Zichron Livracha told us that one time he was speaking in a city and a wealthy man in the city came to him and said, if you could explain to me this pasuk, I'll give you, he said, $1,000. At that time, that was a lot of money. And he said, you mean for the kollel? I'm not taking any money for you. But you wanted to give the yeshiva to the kollel? Fine. So what's the big kasha? Now Yisigam Zakanti. What does it mean? How could it be? It's not true. I see it all the time. What does it mean? And Rashi Zichron Livracha said, Rav Weinberg said, it's so poshut. One of the things he used to demand of us in the yeshiva was to learn how to read. You think you learn how to read when you're a kid. By the time you get to yeshiva, you know how to read. But he said, people don't know how to read. They don't know how to read. You skip words. You have certain notions in your head. You don't realize it. What does the pasuk say? David HaMelech never said that a tzaddik's children will never go hungry. He never said that. David HaMelech never said that a tzaddik's children will always have what to eat. What David says is follows. Now, Isi Gamza Kanti, in my youth and my old age, for the word Isi Tzaddik, there's another word right after that. Ne'ezov, there's never a Tzaddik, I've never seen a Tzaddik forsaken. Vizam Vakash Lachem. It never said, Lo Isi Tzaddik Vizam Vakash Lachem. David didn't say, I didn't see a Tzaddik whose kids are knocking on doors for food. Of course, there are. There are Tzaddikim whose children do not have what to eat. There are Tzaddikim whose children are hungry. The pasuk doesn't say that there's never a tzaddikim whose children need food. It doesn't say that. It says, "Lo isi tzaddik ne'ezav." What does ne'ezav mean? I've never seen the tzaddik forsaken and his children need bread. Forsaken means that the Ribbono Shel Olam has turned away from this person. If the tzaddik's children are hungry, it's because the Ribbono Shel Olam knows about it, and this is a gezeirah from Shemayim for whatever reason. It's never ne'ezav. A tzaddik is never forsaken. It's possible to go through hard times. It's possible. But not because Hashem turned away from the tzaddik. The tzaddik is never ne'ezav. Now, Yisi Gav Zakazi Zad Nezav. A tzaddik who's Zara Bakash Lachem? Yes. A tzaddik Nezav is Zara Bakash Lachem? Never. No such thing. No such thing as a tzaddik being Nezav. Yeah, there are times that Hashem has a gezerah, and even the tzaddikim has a gezerah that there's going to be poverty. Even the tzaddikim, their children are not going to have what to eat. That could be. That could be. But it's not because Hashem turns his back on the tzaddik chasam. That never happens. It's only because Hashem has a cheshbon why this should be. Never ne'ezav. And it's such a pleasant answer. It's just reading the words of the pasuk. Just read the words. Just read the words. V'achamishi. The fifth advantage of the Baal Bitochen over the alchemist. Shebal ha'kimiyah tachas yira v'fachad al malachto min ha'godlo v'al ha'kotn sheba'om. The alchemist is always suffering from a fear that people will reveal what he does. He's afraid of the small, the big, the young, the old. He's afraid. Everything is secretive, secretive. V'abotech b'elokim, yira'uhu ha'gadolim v'nichbedei adam. He is feared by people, great people, honorable people. Avachayis, even animals. Vavanim mevakshim etzono, even the inanimate are striving to do for him. Kvashneva mizmer Yosheb b'seisur elyon anachriso, like we say in the Kapitel Tehillim Yosheb b'seisur until the end. He doesn't list the things said in the Kapitel. Oymer l'Hashem machzi mutzudasi elokai eftach bo, hu yatzilcho, bevasi yosaloch, osir lo sunecha ro, maloch v'saroloch. Nothing will happen to him. He's totally protected. So the Baal Bitochen is not afraid. People give him COVID. People want to help him. I save you from the six troubles and the seven won't touch you. Save from death during the famine and so on. So there's a list. There's a list. Iyov mentions a number of tzaris, famine, war, Lashon Hara against him, robbers, if prices go up and you can't afford food, wild animals, stones that stumbling blocks, all these things he is protected from. He doesn't even mention the idea of with the big tzaddikim like Yaakov Avinu, where the stones want to serve him, Alayini, Asadik Rosho, each of the stones in Parshas Vayetze, they want to be the pillow for Yaakov Avinu. Even the inanimate respond or react to the tzaddikim. So only the animals react to the tzaddikim. So the one who's bitachon Hashem, he has no fears. He has no concerns. The alchemist has plenty of concerns and fears. V'hashishi, the sixth advantage. Shebal kimia eino batuach mecheloyim v'hamadvim. The alchemist isn't secure that he won't get sick. He won't feel bad. Shema arvin alof simchosu ba'ashro. And these things will interfere with his enjoying his wealth. It prevents him from enjoying and benefiting from what he has. He won't get any pleasure in what he has acquired. The one who trusts in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is secure. He's not concerned about illness and discomfort. Unless he knows it's going to be a kapara, so he might get sick. Then he's a kapara. Or an exchange, which means that it'll be yisur me'ava to increase his olam haba. K'mosha kasuv, like it's written, v'yefuna arim v'yiga'u b'achurim kasho yikashelu, v'makoy v'yashem yachlifu koyach. The young na'arim and the bachurim are weary and stumble. And those who put their faith in Hashem have renewed strength. The Amar Kizros Rosham Tishavarna Vasamich Tzadikim Hashem. The strength of the Rosh Hashem breaks, and those who rely on Hashem, the Tzadikim Hashem supports. So the Baal Bitochen isn't concerned about illness, and he stays healthy. And if he's not healthy, he knows this is a kapara, or this is Yisur and Shalava to magnify his Olam Haba. V'hashvi, the seventh advantage. Shebal hakimiya after shlo yigia el mizono b'meshish etzlo min hazahav kesef. It's possible that the alchemist will not be able to acquire food with the silver and gold he has, because on occasion there won't be food available in the stores. Like it says, they would toss the silver out the door because there was nothing to buy with it. Silver and gold couldn't save them. The one who trusts in Hashem, the one who trusts in Hashem will always have what he needs at all times and places till he dies, like it says. In hunger, Hashem saved him from death. For Hashem is my shepherd, I will not lack. They will not be embarrassed in times of bad, and in times of famine will be full. Vashmini, the eighth advantage. Shabbat kimiya enenu misakev b'shum makom. The alchemist won't stay in one place too long. May you raso shami yisgala, so that he's afraid his secret will get out. Whereas the Baal Bitachon can stay securely in one place, ubenuchas nefesh b'mekomo, he's secure and relaxed where he is. K'moshe kasov, like it's written, b'tach b'Hashem v'aseh tov shechon eretz u'eyumuna, that the one who's b'tachon Hashem can continue to dwell in the land. V'amar tzadikim yishu oretz v'yishkunu la'aleh, the righteous will inherit the earth and will reside there forever. V'hatashi'i, a ninth advantage. Shabal hakimiya lo silavenu hakimiya shlobach viso. The alchemist knows that his alchemy will not accompany him after this life. All he'll get from his alchemy in this world is the ability to provide for himself and create his silver and gold. Whereas the one who puts his trust in Hashem knows that the reward for his bitachon will be in this world and the next. The one who puts his trust in Hashem is surrounded by chesed. It says, what good is preserved is put away for those who fear you. Finally, v'asiri, the tenth. Shabbat HaKimiya, the alchemist, if it's revealed what he's doing, will ultimately be the cause of his death. Because what he's doing is really contrary to nature. And eventually, the Baruch Shem will arrange that someone is going to find out, he won't be able to hide the secret, and he'll be killed. The Perisher explains, because the reality is, when he turns this tin and copper into silver and gold, it's not really silver and gold. It looks like silver and gold, but it's not. It's an imitation. And if someone discovers that it's a fraud, it's a forgery, it's all over. He can't turn it into silver and gold. He can make it look like silver and gold, but it's not. V'avateach b'Hashem, the Baal Bitachon, kasha yivada b'tchono, so people find out about his bitachon, Yigdal bein habrius, that elevates him in the stature of people see him. V'chabdu b'rei adam, people honor him. V'yisparchu b'kivaso, b'riyaso, he'll be blessed. People want to be near him, they want to see him. V'yigom l'tekanis iro, it'll help improve his community. V'lidchas ha'pegom me'al anshi mekomo, and push away bad things from his people who live with him. V'ashar kasuv, v'tzadik yisod olam, that tzadik is yisod olam. U'ke'inyan lot, Bitsoar. It's interesting he uses Lot as a mashal, that Lot escaped from Sodom and went to Tsoar and begged the Malach to spare Tsoar. In the Zechus of Lot, Tsoar was saved. That's the example he uses. It's an interesting example. I would have thought he used some other examples. That's the example he uses. So the Chovos HaLevavos gives us these 10 advantages of the Baal Bitachon over the alchemist. Now, obviously, we don't have alchemists, and whether the Chovos HaLevavos believed in it or not, I can't say. But I think the message is beyond the mashal. He's trying to explain the benefits of being a Baal Bitachon in day-to-day living. He's about to discuss what will be with Torah and the like. But in day-to-day living, there's tremendous advantages. And he took the example of the person you would think has the least worries and least concerns and the least anxieties, and show you that the Baal Bitachon has less to worry about than him. The Baal HaBitoch has advantages over that person, because even that person has his fears and anxieties, and the Baal HaBitoch doesn't. Now, as we've gone through these things that he lists, as we mentioned, there are occasions when the Baal Bitachon is tested. There are occasions when the Baal Bitachon is not ne'ezav, he's not forsaken, but he may go through hard times, because that's how the Baruch Hashem has in the Cheshbon, to go through hard times. And the important thing for us to understand is that it is very difficult to become a Baal Bitachon when a person is faced with difficulties. You have to work on being Baal Bitachon before the difficulties come. And then when things get hard, you're in a good place. You are better equipped to deal with it. And I've heard this in the past, that it's important to work on your bitachon when things are good. It's important to work on your emunah when things are working fine. Because when a person's caught in the middle of a difficulty, it is very, very hard to, at that moment, grab onto this midah. There are people who do when they try, but the effective way is to work on it beforehand. It's the thing you work on in advance. And then when life happens, you're ready for it. When life happens, you're ready for it. You're prepared for it. If you are trained and practiced in bitachon, then you're not fazed by the things that happen. Because even though we're going through these psukim and the ideas that the Baal Bitachon isn't afraid of illness, but it can happen. It can happen. And then he knows. He knows already. It's Adin Chet. It's Yisroel Shel Ava. He's prepared for that. He's already got that under control before it ever happened. And if it's a lack of parnasa, so he knows already. The Boshim provides for me. And if right now I don't have what I need, Hashem has a reason why I don't have what I need. There's a reason for it. It's not Hashem has forgotten about me. The one who works on bitachon, so when he's confronted with challenges, he's much better equipped and capable of addressing the difficulties of his situation. And that's why it's something that, like we said, it's something you work on when things are good. Something you work on when things are good, and it carries you through when things aren't so good. In addition, he says something else, which perhaps should have been the first thing he said, but he doesn't. He like slips it in the context of the alchemist. He says, you know, the alchemist can amass wealth, and what's it going to do for him after 120 years? Kiloba mosoi kachako, leirachav kivodo, not taking it with him. And even if he wants to be buried with it, you know, there are people who love their car, they'll be buried with their car. So what? So they're buried with their car. So now what? Where does that get them? The Baal Bitachon, Habateach Bashem, it's in the ninth advantage, Yilavenu Gemul Bitchono B'Mazel Haba. The reward for his Bitachon will accompany him. There is Sechar for Ha Bitachon. So he brings the Pasuk, Habateach Bashem Chesu Avenu, It happens to be that bitachon is a mitzvah on its own. It's not just a life skill and a way to deal with situations. It is a mitzvah to have bitachon Hashem. This goes into Amunas Hashem. There's a mitzvah to have bitachon. And you have the psukim of putting a bitachon in Hashem. B'tach b'Hashem. You have psukim like this, many psukim like this, of Haritach Dovra Melech, writes many of the psukim, it's a big Baal B'tach. The idea of putting your faith in the B'nai Shalom. So, in addition to all the benefits that you get from it, don't lose sight of the fact that in and of itself is a mitzvah. So, there's a story that I came across, and I once said it over, and I think it's an amazing story, but not everyone likes the story. Biskarov, after leaving Europe, comes to Eretz Yisrael. So he had a group of married men who had learned by him, and he would provide them with a stipend. He provided them with a stipend. This is like a minhag, even to this day in Shiva Spirits, they give stipends. They give stipends. They didn't even give to the Bochum, they give stipends. They give stipends to make sure they have what they need. Maybe only feeding a light now. I don't know. They give stipends. So the Biskov had to raise money. Part of his job is he had to raise money now. Now he has to raise money to provide for the people who rely on him that he gives them money. So a fellow came to him and said, how much money do you need? How much money do you need to provide for the year? Give me a number. What's the number for the year to provide for all your Yumalite? This goes back many years. I don't know. Maybe he said $100,000. Let's say. Let's make up a number. $100,000. So the fellow writes a check, $100,000. Here you go. Sit and learn. Don't run out for money. I took care of a year. He wouldn't take the check. He refused to take the check. He wouldn't take the check. I'll take a check for $50,000, not $100,000. They still have to raise $50,000. I know. So why don't you take the whole $100,000? He says, because if you give me the check for $100,000, then you're taking away from me my mitzvah of having B'tochen Hashem. If I take only $50,000, I still have to have trust in Hashem. I'm going to get that other $50,000. And I'll have to work on it and have B'tochen, Hashem will provide the next $50,000. But if you give me the full $100,000, I have no B'tochen. You took away my mitzvah. I'm not giving up my mitzvah. My mitzvahs are not for sale. I'm not giving up my mitzvah B'tochen Hashem. I don't want your $100,000. Give me half. So that is an amazing madriga. Very few fundraisers are going to say, no, don't give me all the money I need. I want to have my mitzvah B'tochen in store. So fundraisers don't like the story, but they'll say, even if they never get, no one's covering their full deficit, fine, whatever it is. The concept of the story is that B'tochen is a mitzvah. It's not just a tool when we need it. It is a mitzvah to have B'tochen to be Baruch Hashem all the time. All the time. Put your faith in Hashem all the time. And the Biskura felt that even though there's plenty of what to have B'tochen on, I mean, I give a whole list of things to be have B'tochen on. Okay, B'tochen for your health and also for yourself. There's a lot of things that the whole list is giving here. But he felt that he had to have special B'tochen to raise that money. And I'm not a fundraiser, but perhaps fundraisers can relate to that. You need a lot of B'tochen. If you're going to be raising money like that, you have to be B'tochen. It's going to come from somewhere. And he didn't want to have taken away from him. He felt that mitzvah was too precious to give away to the person who wants to cover the full cost of running his coil. So I'm not saying everyone's on that madriga. The Bitochen of Biskurov is legendary. It's legendary. His Mida Bitochen, the story I'm imagining you're familiar with, when his family was escaping Europe through the forests and he told everyone in his group, his mishpacha, that what Hashem is going to provide us with what we need to eat. You eat every drop of it, leave nothing left for tomorrow. Do not save for tomorrow, because that means you don't have B'tochen Hashem. You have to full B'tochen Hashem, Hashem will take care of us. So they go like with nothing. Right? They go into the midbar with nothing. And midway through the day, they come across a yid with a big basket. He says, we're going to have a simcha. We prepared all this food, and then the army came. We had to run. Please take this food. And they had a whole meal prepared for them. So they ate the whole meal. And Biskurov told them, no leftovers. We're not saving anything for tomorrow. B'tochen. Came the next day. They were traveling weiter, further the traveling, and they have no food with them. And they come across another person with a different story. That he has this food, that he's running, take it, I don't need it. So, fine, he takes the food, and they have what to eat. When they finished dividing up the food, there was no dessert. There was no compote in the basket. And he sternly looks at his mishpacha, who saved their compote from yesterday. And one of the family members, a younger family member, hooked out of his pocket leftovers from yesterday because he was afraid there wouldn't be compo tomorrow. And Biskurov berated him, because you left over, none of us get compo today. You didn't have B'tochen. It's your fault I don't have dessert today. Because if you wouldn't have saved it, we'd all have kampa right now. This is an unbelievable level of bitachon. It's a famous story. It's a tremendous level of bitachon. He had no doubt that the Ibn Hashem was going to provide the next day. I don't have to save anything for tomorrow. The Ibn Hashem will provide tomorrow. And so on. So this was his madrega. So when it came to the fundraising years later, he refused to take the full check. I'm not giving up my bitachon Hashem because of your check. So it's a very, very big madrega. But the concept is that we have to understand that bitachon is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah for us to have bitachon. And it's very helpful in life too. It's very helpful. But we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that it in its own right is a mitzvah. And that's another reason to focus on it and to think about it, that we should be trained in putting our bitachon in the Ribono Shel Olam more and more, because the bitachon we put in Hashem will accompany us. That's a sechar that we'll get, not just the benefits in this world, but in the next world as well.